Today's scripture reading is from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives it light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, the first thing this morning, I want you to remember this. I'm not going to talk about Barb Lowe at all. She said, do not say anything about me, so I'm not going to talk about her. So next week when she shows up, say, Roger didn't say a thing about you, okay? She even sent me a text this morning worrying about I was going to say something about her. Anyway, in the scripture we just heard, Jesus talks about us being the salt of the earth. What does that really mean? I mean, today we're going to talk about what it means to be salt, but sometimes that's kind of a hard thing to understand. But I want to examine the characteristics of salt and see if that's anything like our Christian walk. Now, you know, salt used to be simple. You'd buy a container like this, and you put it in the salt shaker, and you're done. That's salt. It's the way it was for a long time. But our Jewish friends would tell us, well, you know, you ought to try kosher salt. It's pure and better for you, and it's got more flavor. Well, it does have a lot of flavor. It doesn't have any iodine in it, which you need, but it's good. And then, you know, they started selling sea salt, which is a lot like kosher salt, I found out, but it's pure from the ocean. But then there's a lot of other kinds of salt. So I went through the cupboard. Well, we have celery salt. Let's see, what else do we have? Well, we have seasoned salt, which is really just salt and pepper, so you just do one shake and you're done, you know? And then my latest salt added to my collection, so my brother gave this to me for Christmas. He gave me Paula Deen's Silly Salt. Now, don't ask me what it does, but knowing Paula Deen, it probably goes on fried food. I'm not really sure. Well, you see, that's just what I found looking through our cupboard yesterday. There's a saying, you are what you eat. Well, if that's the case, I'm turning into a catfish or bacon. I'm not sure which one, and I can blame some of this on blondies, but most of it rests on me. You know, food issues over the last 40 years or so have always made the news. If something's good for you or something's bad for you. You know, eggs and potatoes were bad for you for a long time. Now we know they're not so bad for you. You need some of that. They're good for you. The consumption of milk right now is down 40% over what it was in 1975. There's a whole lot more people now, but milk is suddenly something that people think makes them sick. The same is to be said about salt. Research said years ago that there's a link between salt and heart disease, which is true. And there were massive campaigns that said, you know, we need to get salt out of your diet. It's a bad thing. And it was drastically reduced in a lot of people's diets. Some people cut it out so much that they found out later on that it actually was hurting them to completely do away with something like that, that some salt is essential in your diet. Of course, they always throw in this qualifying statement. It's got to be used in moderation. That moderation thing gets us every time, doesn't it? You know? A body that goes without any salt will deteriorate and will get muscle cramps. And it will lower your resistance to infection. There's a story about Napoleon's troops in 1812, and they're retreating from Russia, that all the men got so sick, and most of it was because they had absolutely no salt in their diet, and they cramped, and they got in diseases. We see that it's important to the body. And at the time of Jesus, it was probably even more important because the climate he lived in was a very hot climate, which caused you to perspire a lot and lose a lot of moisture and salt from your body. It's so important that salt has actually become part of our language. The Roman soldiers in the days of Caesar were paid, besides their money, in salt. They gave them salt, which was called salarium, which is where our word salary comes from today. Some parts of the world, salt was so precious that an ounce of salt was equal to an ounce of gold. In Greece, they would trade salt for slaves, and that's where the phrase came from, not worth his salt. During Shakespeare's time, it became the tradition that the head of the household was set when he sat at the table, the salt was put right next to him because they didn't want anybody else on the table to contaminate it when they put their fingers in it to get the salt. I mention all these points merely to give you a background on that saying of Jesus in 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. Well, why do we add salt to food? I was talking to the kids about this. Because it brings out flavor. And I find, just like them, it's very difficult to eat some foods without salt. Fresh tomatoes, which I like to season salt, but fresh tomatoes, french fries, of course, popcorn, eggs, maybe some on a steak. We got to have all that. That list goes on and on. And maybe if you've stopped using real salt, you use light salt, which is potassium chloride, which still gives it a lot of flavor. But as Christians, we're called on to be the salt in the world, to bring out goodness, to bring out the Christ-like character that God has stamped on our hearts. Salt acts as flavoring to food to enhance and improve on what we already have available. We as Christians must live our lives like this. A Christian should add flavor to life. After all, a Christian who has nothing positive to contribute to life of the world is really a contradiction in terms. The next quality of salt I want to talk about is one we don't use much anymore. It's salt the preservative. In previous ages, we used salt to keep meat from going bad. Today, we use it for pickling. For pickles and olives and things like that. I just finished reading the classic, The Grapes of Wrath, by John Steinbeck, written in 1939, talking about the Dust Bowl days and the families that were preparing to go west to California, and they were butchering their hogs, and they were packing them in salt so that they could preserve the meat for that long journey west. I think we should thank God for refrigeration every day. Likewise, our lives are to show a different way of living and to direct people to the hope and the love of God through the lives that people we meet. And the people we meet, we try to keep their lives from going bad. Even more, the grace of God is enough to transform even the most terrible person. What a calling rests upon us, this being the salt of the earth. It brings a lot of responsibility to us. It's true that salt is used to bring about change, but sometimes it's invisible. You know, when I'm cooking, and I like to cook, if I add salt to boiling potatoes or pasta or something like that, it instantly disappears, but it's adding flavor to it. It makes an impact, but we can't even see it. We need to understand that often the difference we make as Christians is slight and almost invisible in our eyes, but can bring about miraculous changes in others. That phone call or text to someone just to see how they are can have an amazing impact on someone else. A smile, a comforting shoulder, a story about what your church is doing or what God means to you can change somebody forever. Equally, when we refuse to gossip, when we refuse to grumble when others do, and we're courteous when we're standing in line at the post office or at the line in Walmart, or we return our shopping cart to the right place at the supermarket, we are the salt because we're doing those little things, those simple tasks that change the climate around us, invisibly, miraculously. You know what characteristic of salt I came up with that I didn't think of for a long time? Why do restaurant owners place salty snacks and peanuts on the bar and bring chips and salsa to your table? Because it makes you thirsty. Those retailers know something, and we know it. Once you've tasted salt, you've developed a thirst. And I think that's what God does through us too. As we live our lives in this world, others around us might develop a thirst. They'll see the reality of Jesus in you. At least they will if you'll let them see that reality of your relationship and the way God has changed you and is changing you. Such a story transforms others. You know, some of the greatest witnesses that I've ever seen are people going through hardship and pain. People that are sick. People that have a dirt floor and don't know where their next meal is coming from. People who live in two rooms in their house because when it rains, it leaks so bad they can't live in the rest of the house. Yet, still the presence of Christ burns through them. Their hope and faith that we see in people like this is incredible, and it makes you thirsty. For seeing God at work in others always causes you to want to taste and see that Jesus really is good. When we've gone on mission trips, we always leave thinking, what are we going to do for these people that we are going to go help? And when we come back, we realize that it's their faith that has really changed us. Do people around you sense something special in your life? If not, why not? You know, absolutely the most important thing about salt is this. If you keep it locked away in that shaker, it does nothing. As church people, we're called to be the salt of the world, not the salt of the church. Yet, if we only our only contact is with other Christian people, then that salt's going to be wasted. If the French fries you buy are already salted, you don't need to add more. We need to take this salt, this distinctiveness, out into the world, to those who do not understand and do not yet know. If we refuse to talk to those who are far off from the standards of the church, how are they ever going to hear? Our Bishop Bob Farr will tell you that he has brought more people to Christ by talking to them when he's on his motorcycle or by volunteering at the local fire department than he ever has in church. I hope and pray you are up to this challenge this coming Lent. Lent's only 2 weeks away, to be that salt. But for heaven's sake, for Jesus' sake, do it for the world, not locked up inside in church. It does little good in this building. We've all had a lot of access to salt here. Perhaps this Lent, God is calling us to examine whether we are spending enough time in the world. If we're just salt together, we're defeating the purpose of God in our lives. So this Lent, let's get out in the world. As strange and unchristian and crazy as it might be, because we are to be the salt. Amen.